Here It Comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. The name of our show tonight is Building Communities. And I have a return guest. I said to her off air that this is one of the most fun shows I get to do. I'm really relaxed. I don't have to do a lot of prep because when I'm sitting with T. Van Hook, who is the executive director of Habitat for Humanity Tucson, the questions seem to flow. The conversation seems to speed by. All of a sudden, we're getting the signal. It's 30 minutes. So welcome, T. Van Hook. It's great to have you back.
It's exciting to be here again, Mrs. Green.
It's really great. So let's get to it. I mean, we have a lot of... It's going to be a content-rich show. So Habitat for Humanity builds houses. One of the things that I love about it is the phrase... You really give people a hands up, but not a handout. In other words, once a person qualifies for a home, they are engaged. They are in the process of helping to build that home. They have to commit to taking classes to learn about what it means to be a home builder. How do you assert, you know, what's air conditioning bills? For some people, this is the first time that they're really the owner of a home, and a lot of responsibility goes with that. So you do that. We can talk a little bit about that. But what I really want to get to is the next step that you're going to, that's a big vision for you, is not just to build homes, but to really build communities, to have an impact in the communities in which you live, work, and build those Habitat for Humanity homes. So now it's all about you, T.
Well, absolutely. We think it's a really critical part to what we do to make sure that we're building a sustainable community around our houses. We have to remember, we're not building a house. We're really building a home and memories and really something that people are going to spend their lives in. And we don't live alone. We share the planet with lots of folks, and we share our neighborhood with people. So it's equally important to us that we make sure there's capacity building in the neighborhoods, that there's programs in place for the existing neighbors. So we'll go into a neighborhood sometimes 2-3 years before we even start building new homes, do an assessment. We do a survey. In a local neighborhood, we did 1,200 door-to-door surveys just this last year using interns from the University of Arizona. And we look at what the neighbors' perceptions of their neighborhood are, the problems they may have, the strengths that they have, and we try to pair those strengths together to solve some of the issues. So one thing we've noticed in a lot of neighborhoods, there are older folks that are unable to take care of their yard or able to do some things.
Right.
So we come in with a group, we call it A Brush with Kindness, and we repaint the front of the house, redo the landscaping. We work with neighbors on public amenities. We really work with our homeowners to teach them how to engage. Civic engagement in this country is at an all-time low. And civic engagement starts right in your home and with your neighbors when you're talking about making sure you get the amenities that you need, making sure if there's a traffic issue, you know who to contact, if there's a crime issue, all of those things. And it's not just low-income neighborhoods. Neighborhoods across our country have these issues, have speeding cars, have barking dogs.
A big one in our neighborhood and all over Tucson is potholes. So what do you do when you have really big potholes in your street? Well, fortunately, we have, with Pima County, we're in the county, that's civic engagement. There's someone you can email, you can take a picture of the pothole, but a lot of times, especially in marginalized communities, let's be honest, they don't feel they have a voice. So you're helping to teach them to find their voice and what they can do to help transform their community. Is that accurate?
Absolutely accurate. And not only they've not had exposure to it, but when you don't have sustainable housing,
right?
When your family's moving, you know, from this apartment deal to this apartment deal, the children are being uprooted and moved from school to school
constantly.
You don't have time to really create those connections. And when you're in survival mode, the last thing you're worried about is notifying a city council office about potholes or
truly
talking about
survival.
Speed mitigation. It is completely survival. So we slow that process down and say, you're going to have a home, you're in a stable place, and this is how you make sure your community is sustainable. Working with your neighbors and homeowners association, if there is one, neighborhood association. This is, you know, working together to maintain parks, working together to see if your neighbor next door. I like to say this, if I have something I need to take care of and I can take care of it, I just take care of it. But if I can't, then maybe I go to my neighbor next door, or I go across the street to someone I know and I say, hey, I could use a little help in return, or I can offer help. If the two of us can't do it, let's get together with the neighborhood. And if the neighborhood can't do it, let's go to a city office, a county office, someone else. It starts with me. Then I create that neighborhood around me, and we work together to make sure that we have a sustainable community for everyone.
And I call that social capital. And sometimes we take it for granted. I was grown up with social capital. My parents had networks. They're kind of not even conscious networks, but you call somebody you work with. You call somebody you go to school with. I mean, there's all kinds, somebody you socialize with. So it's very different. And as you were talking, I was thinking about, why do I love Habitat for Humanity so much? And I'm my social service background. It's a pebble in the pond. And when you give someone an anchor, the home, kids do better in school. Parents can get involved in school. Big, big, big worries are taken away. Like, where am I going to live next? So there's so many of those, that the pebble in the pond, it just keeps going and going and going for how to build stronger, healthier, more sustainable communities.
And we really talk about sustainability at home. We're really excited. Trader Joe's a few weeks ago gave us enough little mini potted herb gardens that we could we could give those to all of our homeowners, everyone that's going through our classes now. And we just had a few minutes presented by a community partner on, here's your herb garden, here's some uses of the herbs, this is how you keep your herb garden alive. And when you have a home, you have a space to have something like that. And it's really, they were beautiful, and a lot of the perspective and homeowners were really excited to get that. It seems like a small gesture, but for someone who's been in an apartment, been in other situations, you don't have that little plot of land to put your garden in.
Yeah, transient living is really tough on everybody. So it's really great to have that anchor. And you know what? There's nothing that my grandchildren have had more fun with me, maybe. Well, I mean, they might argue. We've had a lot of fun. But growing things, putting your hand in dirt, planting bulbs, little gardens, any kind of thing that's involved with the earth and soil, kids are naturally drawn toward it. One of the people that do give me feedback on my show, one of the things they say is, you don't ask questions about what's hard. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because I'm always so excited about the things that are done and going from a strength-building perspective. What are some of the obstacles that you faced in the neighborhoods and with families? What are some of the biggest things that you have to overcome?
Well, I think at Habitat Tucson, we learned years ago, my predecessor, Michael McDonald, is just amazing at building community, that you come into a community and no matter what the demographic, something new is frightening to them. So you really have to go in ahead of time. And we like to say, instead of NIMBY, not in my neighborhood, we like YIMBYs, yes, in my neighborhood.
Oh my gosh, that's a hashtag, kiddo. That is a hashtag dying to happen, YIMBYs.
YIMBYs. And years ago, we had these bumper stickers, I'm a YIMBY, because we want this type of transformation in neighborhoods throughout our community, throughout the country, and all over the world. Someone was telling me yesterday they worked for one of the largest home builders in America. And I said, I work for the largest home builder in the world.
See, that's awesome. That's really awesome.
If
the
you think
global
about
impact.
The global impact.
Yes. And did they chuckle?
They did. And they were excited and said, not only do you work for the largest, but you work for the best home builder. And
right.
I liked that.
I hope you gave that person a hug, because it's the gosh darn truth. Okay. You talk about capacity building, and you said you go in sometimes 3 years ahead and start learning. It makes me so happy. It's so respectful to ask people what they want and need instead of telling them this will fix your problem. It's such a different approach. So you're asking them, how can we help you? How can we be good neighbors? How can we make changes? What about staying there after the homes are built? Have you planted enough seeds I know staffing, there's not always used to people say, well, what about recidivism? I'm like, if you can fund us to follow clients for 5 or 10 years, that'd be great. But how do you make sure that the seeds that are planted will be watered and grown? I like that metaphor.
Sure. Well, I think there's a couple of things. Number one, we aren't a patriarchal or matriarchal organization. We're really about empowerment, and we're about giving people, again, that hand up. That doesn't mean we step completely away, but because people always know, once a Habitat homeowner, we call them partners, always a partner. And so we're back doing lots of things in the neighborhoods. But the idea of having all of the education in advance, teaching people how to engage with their neighbors, is about building that capacity so people can carry on. It's about systemic change, not about babysitting. And so that's really important to us. And that doesn't mean we step away, though. Just recently, we had classes on the new programmable thermostats, because the older homes don't have those. So, you know, we make things available to all 400 of our homeowners and the neighborhoods about new technologies that might be available, about new ideas, and about ongoing maintenance for your home. And at different phases, you know, those of us who are homeowners understand at 7 years, you need some things. At 15 years, it's no different than owning a car that needs an oil change
and
those other things.
The tires and a tune-up and all
Absolutely.
That stuff.
Absolutely. So we, on a continual basis, have what we call post-purchase education. And post-purchase could be 30 years later, really talking about what that house needs as it ages and happens. And all neighborhoods have a life cycle. So it's about, how do you ride through those life cycles? How do you take kind of the downturns where people are getting older, or there's some deterioration, natural deterioration of the home? And how do you lift that back up and make sure you stay sustainable?
So you really overcome obstacles by meeting people where they are and helping them to grow and helping answer their problems. And really, it's continuing education. It's not a, we built a home. That doesn't work. I mean, I remember at a time when Oprah was buying, money was the problem. And I never feel that Habitat for Humanity approaches things as though that is the problem or the challenge. It's an obstacle to changing your life if you can't have a home.
Absolutely.
So it's a very different kind of transaction, and really kind of different mindset.
Well, and we come from community. I think there are a couple of things. There are people that come into community, but we come from community. You have to remember
very
that
our
foundation,
from instead of in.
Our foundation is that local. You know, we have an international presence. We have standards, we have various things, but we act locally. We support missions around the world. Here in Habitat Tucson, we support right now Mexico and Bangladesh. So what we do here in Tucson is one model, and it works for Tucsonans. And what they do in Mexico is a different model, different rules and regulations, and different cultural customs. And then in Bangladesh, even, you know, different housing styles. And certainly there, the primary issue is potable water and sanitation. So we're looking at what is needed locally while we're acting globally to eliminate the idea that people live in substandard housing.
And we are a global community. We are a global community. It's like, come on, people. The earth has shrunk in that regard. I mean, I was listening to something on the news the other night, and they were talking about why the world is so different in terms of what they want to do, and it was all about the ability to communicate. That makes us
Absolutely.
A global community. When you say you help them, can you expand on that a little bit? What are you doing to help build homes, or, you know, Habitat for Humanity, Mexico, and Bangladesh?
Well,
like, seriously,
things.
Do we need to go and do some site visits, team?
I'm working on a couple of road trips. I'm working on a road trip
to bring some
to
media.
Bangladesh. Well, we have something called Global Village. So across the United States and across the world, local habitats get groups together and go kind of on a mission and build a house.
Awesome.
In September, I went to Costa Rica with a group and worked on building houses. And that was a group of other chief executives from habitats from across the country. We looked at poverty. We looked at the types of housing across Latin America and in the Caribbean. And so we can send teams. We can look at how we can support those countries. Habitat Tucson founded Habitat Mexico, and we have financially supported them to some degree, and we've pledged some funding to Bangladesh. Here in Tucson, it's about $90,000 to go vertical on a house. That doesn't include land costs and other things. In Bangladesh, our dollars go a lot further. For $1,600, we can provide potable water, sanitation, and a stable living environment for a family with children.
$1,600?
Correct.
Wow, big difference.
If we send $25,000 a year to Bangladesh, it is a huge impact. It's 300 families. And there they're looking in, you would love this, solar lights so kids can study after it's dark, solar ovens to cook the food, certainly various types of composting, sanitation.
I just want to ring the bell. I mean, I think I should ring the bell. It's like, come on, that's a really, I don't ring the bell very often, but it's a bell ringer. That does excite me.
And we're excited.
It's incredible, changing the world.
And they, we get messages back and forth. I communicate with both Bangladesh and Mexico on a regular basis on what their mission is and how we can support them and how we can, again, look globally at housing and act locally.
And it's just, it's that I really and truly, this is the first time, and that's why, the reasons I love having you on the show, that's news for Mrs. Green, and it makes me happy, really, at a very, very deep and important level for the work I'm doing. So why Green Homes? I could answer the question why I think it's great, but in the initial phases, it's more costly. Why did you step up and make that commitment? And is that a national initiative, or is it Habitat for Humanity Tucson?
Well, I'm proud to say that it really started with Habitat for Humanity Tucson and a couple other affiliates across the country. And initially, there was some resistance because the additional cost could be an additional home for someone and other things. But if we look at the long term, we're building the highest quality, most energy efficient house because it's affordable in the long term.
So much better for the residents,
for the
homeowner.
And a couple of things happened. I think we talked about this last time. By putting in those green features and building with volunteers, people see those technologies that we're deploying into the house, and it gives them some ideas about, oh, when I go home, here's some ways that I can use better insulation. Here's some ways that I can have a tighter envelope of my home. Here are programmable thermostats, variety of energy efficient things we do. All of the roof tiles are recycled materials, and then the roof tiles help insulate the house. So we're thinking those things through so that it's a lower cost to the resident over time and initially. So the better the construction, the more energy efficient, the more affordable the house is. So in the long run, it's worth those dollars to make sure.
And it's better for the planet. It's not short-sighted. It's thinking about the whole global community in terms of what we're doing and reducing energy. I met with Dave Hutchins a couple of weeks ago from TEP, and he was telling me that TEP will not have to increase their load on the grid, their grid load. And I hope I have those words right, because he's a lot smarter than I am when it comes to all those technical terms. Dave, you got it going on, buddy. But he said because of the energy efficiency programs that they have implemented on a bigger and bigger and bigger scale with homeowners and businesses, that they're seeing the load really, really stabilize, and it's all through energy efficiency. How good is that for the planet? So you're there.
Oh, we're
You're
there.
You're doing it.
And TEP is an amazing partner of ours. You'll see most of the vehicles we drive say, courtesy of TEP, Tucson Electric Power. And last year, we received the Bright E Award for building the most energy efficient home.
I know, and I was there, and I was proud to be a part of that. Yes.
It's exciting. And so when I laugh because they say they're the only organization that gives away prizes for not using their services.
It's true. It's absolutely and positively true. But that was a big shocker to me because Tucson's growing and we're supposed to get 100,000 new homes in the years to come, and we will not have to increase load. I mean, that's a big deal in terms of the environmental factor and the impact. So it's you're a part of the change you want to see.
Well, not just in the creation of the power, but the transmission of the power and what the ill effects
the whole
that
loop.
Have been. Yeah, it's critical to us that we build a quality home.
Yeah, it's the whole green enchilada.
It is.
It's
And,
of it.
You know, you add an herb garden and you add some conversations on water harvesting. You put xeriscaping in the yards. And pretty soon you have a pretty beautiful and sustainable
home. Habitat. You know what? That was one of my next questions. You incorporate sustainable living, not just sustainable features, when you're working with your families.
Absolutely.
And there is a part that you're right. There's a natural inquisitiveness about some of the stuff, I would hope, so that it's a learning opportunity that just presents itself.
Absolutely. And, you know, we find folks that partner with us, the homeowners, that they're our partners, really anxious they're excited about their home and they're anxious to have those features that they're not used to. And, you know, we learned long ago, it's really important folks who have lived in an apartment situation or other situations, they're not used to routine maintenance. If you don't change that air filter on your HVAC system, it starts pulling more energy.
Totally.
It costs
totally.
More. So just the cost of changing out that air filter once a month pays off, you know, multiples, because you're not using as much energy.
You know, I think it's important. We have so many new listeners. I mean, Mrs. Green's World, I'm so happy to say the word is spreading because of shows like this. I want people to know what you're doing. But I think it's really important to let people know that it's kind of going backwards a little bit. But people don't get in the homes for free. They pay a mortgage.
Absolutely.
It's not like, oh, here's your house, enjoy it, hope everything works out and be sustainable. They're participating in it financially. They have skin in the game. There's sweat equity. So it really is a true partnership at the very core of its being.
Absolutely. It's a partnership to build the house. It's a partnership to pay for the house. And all of our homeowners receive a 0% mortgage. So Habitat essentially upfronts all the costs of the house. And then we get paid back over a, you know, 20-year period.
Like a mortgage, but it's doable.
It is a mortgage. It's a 0%. I usually say people normally buy two things. You purchase a home and you purchase a mortgage.
Yes.
And sometimes you pay more for the mortgage than you do for the home.
Most times. The biggest debt.
Absolutely. But Habitat homeowners only purchase a home.
That's right. And it's theirs. It's a game changer.
Yeah.
Game changer, game changer, game changer.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about Habitat for Humanity's Habastore before we run out of time. Exciting things going on there.
Absolutely. We're transforming the retail space in the Habastore. So that
what's it going to look like?
Oh, it's going to be beautiful. The flow is going to be better. We'll have more vignettes so you can see
how this might look in your house.
Absolutely. And we're going to have a beautiful mission wall that really ties together the store and the things that we're doing with the building and all of the other activities, the community building that we have. And we went to a computerized sale program this year, which has just been phenomenal. And, you know, I'm happy to say the store is growing by leaps and bounds. We think we'll do at least a 10% increase in sales this year. We have amazing community partners, terrific donations we've been getting. And I always say, if you see something, grab it quick, because it'll be gone.
It'll be gone. And I want to say to people out there, find your Habitat for Humanity's Habastore. In a lot of communities, they're called Restore. I mean, we have listeners all over the country. But at our Habitat for Humanity Tucson, they're not just hidden treasures. There's real upfront, right in the main aisle, beautiful things for your home and your yard. And you just never know what you're going to find if you go. And it said Grant and I-10 if you're in Tucson. I would say to people who are visiting, I mean, we have the Gem Show coming up. Make Habitat for Humanity's Habastore a spot.
Well, about 6 weeks ago, we had these beautiful figurines, European figurines, I think, you know, Meissen or one of those brands. And they were gorgeous. And we put them on Facebook. And we literally had a phone call from the Dallas airport. It was someone who was flying to Tucson to see
kidding.
His parents. I am not kidding.
You are kidding.
And
social media at its
literally,
finest. Oh, my gosh.
And it's someone who, an interior designer who frequents Restores and Habastores everywhere they go. So he'd been looking on the Facebook page, literally sitting in the airport, called us, asked us to set it aside. We don't normally do that, but in this case, it was a very unique
You've got to have it, just for the story factor.
Yeah. And I was over there, and he's like, oh, I just flew in to get these. And I was like, what? Well, I'm visiting my mother, too. It was just great. And had these beautiful
pieces.
And was
it just a hidden treasure in a box? I mean, the things that you can find in a box, or do the people know what they were donating?
Yeah, I think, you know, they do. And a lot of times we'll get entire households, a parent passes.
Right.
And the family wants to make a difference with the items that they had. And so I always say there's three winners. You're a winner if you're like me and you collect eclectic things,
right,
and you're full.
Eclectic stuff.
You got to send some stuff over. You lighten your load. It's a win for the treasure hunter or someone who's doing a rehab on their home, and you can go there and get things literally for fractions of what they would cost you elsewhere. And it's a winner for every one of our homeowners who the Habastore helps support. The money generated there really helps us to provide our mission and do things. People don't understand that a lot of fundraising, a lot of people will sponsor a house, but they forget that there's a cost to the community building and all of the other things we do. The money we generate at the Habastore is unrestricted, so we're able to do that, have people that go out and, you know, do outreach into the communities and education and all of the other things that make Habitat possible.
And it's really, I like to say this, it's really fun. It's not ever boring to go in there. You have to go in and have some fun, and they've got high efficiency toilets in case you have to visit the restroom. I mean, there are green features as well.
So absolutely.
It's great. I can't wait to see the redo.
It's going to be gorgeous and a lot of new insulation and other things. So we, in fact, just a couple weeks ago had additional solar panels added to the rooftop.
Wow.
So, you know, we already had a portion of the building being run on solar. So we had some additional solar put in place.
It's a big building.
It's a huge building. And
hard to cool in the summer. Oh, my goodness.
People are going to see big changes inside. And I think some people, regular customers, are afraid that we're changing our format. We are not. We are making the shopping experience even more enjoyable for folks. And I always say, you know, the fine furnishings, the lighting. You know, we all have our favorite spots.
And yeah, right. And mine is not in the paint and home improvement section. It's more in the furniture and home decor and what else do I need to bring home that I really don't need.
Yeah.
But then you're right about when you go to the Habastore, the best habit to get in is bring some stuff with you.
Correct.
Because you're going to want to make room for some new stuff. So it's like that's a really great exchange of repurposing and recycling, and it goes to a good cause. It's like guilt-free shopping.
And speaking of repurposing, we're going to have a silent auction the last week of February with items that are repurposed by artists in the community.
Love it.
For some of the renovations. And I'm excited. I'm going to be partnering with Kevin Walters, a local stained glass artist, to do a six-panel glass door.
Awesome.
So I'm going to do painting, and he's going to help with some stained glass, and I think it's going to be quite beautiful. But we have a number of local artists contributing on repurposed things.
I love it. I'm coming to the grand opening. It's like, and is the store open during reconstruction?
The store was closed yesterday for the holiday, and then today and tomorrow, but the store will be reopened on Thursday, and we should stay open.
Come
for the
rest on down.
Of the time.
We have 2 minutes left. Before I want to ask you the last question, I want everybody to know that you can find out all about Habitat for Humanity by visiting habitattucson.org. Obviously, after this show, you're going to want to stay connected with them on Facebook, Habitat for Humanity Tucson. They're on Twitter, Habitat Tucson. I saw a tweet go out this morning about the show already. So get engaged and just stay up to date what's happening. Last question, Dee. You have about 2 minutes.
Okay.
Where would you like to see Habitat for Humanity Tucson in 5 years? Like when you go in the dream machine, what would you like to see? What would you like to be sitting here telling us? And I hope you are. I'll be 70, by the way.
Absolutely. Well, I think we want to continue to grow our impact in the community, not just for Habitat homeowners, but our entire community capacity. And that's critical. That requires partnerships with other agencies, the ability, and we thank you for having us, Mrs. Green, to get the word out about the work that we're doing in our sustainability.
Integrated approach. You've got it going on all cylinders. I mean, it's part of your wheelhouse.
It is.
I love that expression. I'm going to use it more. My kids use it, so I know it's like it'll make me sound even hipper. That's not part of my wheelhouse. I don't know if my kids use it, but a lot of people are doing it anyway. So T. Van Hook, the executive director, the thought leader, the person that's bringing a lot of changes with her team to Habitat for Humanity Tucson, thanks for being with us, and thanks for what you do to make our world a better place. Everybody, January 25th, this Saturday, very excited to interview David Corton. Change the story, change the future, and he's all about building strong local communities. Make it a great, green, intentionally lived week.